Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, going through this book called Beside Bethesda. And you know, I'm looking at some of the prayer requests that I get, and there are so many prayer requests for feelings of depression and darkness, and we just were discussing about the healing from depression and darkness. Through the years, this is Johnny Erickson Tata talking, through the years, Ken and I have been in some very, very dark places in this world as we have sought to bring hope and help to disabled people in forgotten, impoverished cities and villages. The darkness can be both literal, you know, an absence of electricity and street lights, and spiritual, where Satan and his hordes hold a tight-fisted grip over so many broken lives. But we have met radiant believers in such places, men, women, and children whose lives shine in the darkness, clear and clean as starlight. Are you in a dark place today? Your darkness today might involve illness, depression, physical pain, financial troubles, marriage struggles, or worry over loved ones on a dangerous path. But the more time you spend in the presence and conscious awareness of Jesus Christ, reading His Word, speaking to Him, and earnestly cultivating His presence, the more your life will take on His glow. You will be noticed in spite of yourself and draw attention to Him. And I think of two scriptures. I'm going to read both of them. 2 Corinthians 3:18, nothing between us and God, our faces shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. And the second one is found in Daniel 12:3-4. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. So I hope that gives you courage today. I know some of you might not have the strength to hold a book or to read, but there's apps now that you can put on your phone and just listen to the Bible. I know in the morning, my eyes, as I've gotten older, are so dry, so they take a long time to want to open. And I just listen to the scripture. My husband and I just listen there, all cozy, cuddling up, listening to God's beautiful word. And that's just a great tool to get the scripture pouring into you. Well, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I hold up to You Tim and his wife. She is suffering from COVID. Please put Your healing hand upon her. And I pray for Rhoda's grandson who's in the hospital. I think he might have meningitis. And Lord, I have some praises too. I praise You that my own family, my son and his wife and two grandkids are over COVID and they're doing just fine, maybe a little tired. And I pray for a little girl whose name is Angelina. And she's a preemie. So many babies are born premature. Anyway, pray for her. And Lord, You know our hearts and You know our DNA even. Just be with us today. Be with this show. Give us courage to go on and strength. All this I pray in Thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! So we've been talking about garden ideas, and today I'd like to talk about making a garden. I was given this fairy garden with a little gnome and a little house and everything. I thought, well, wouldn't kids have fun making like a dinosaur garden or I don't know, something with their action figures, it would be a lot of fun. So just gather together a few little seedlings, maybe from the seedlings that you started in your ice cream cone or the cuttings that you started from your house plants, and have fun letting them plant the plants and then place their little plastic dinosaurs or the little plastic action figures around in the garden. And they'll play with it for a while, but they'll love to watch those little seedlings grow up and grow taller than their action toys. So that's the idea for today. Just have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. So we've been talking about learning theories. And one of the things when I went to get my PhD is they wanted me to develop my own learning theory. So, of course, I studied everybody else's learning theory and thought, why should I develop a unique learning theory when it has totally been exhausted? There are so many different theories of learning. Last time we talked about Piaget's stages, and we've talked about Kohlberg's learning cycle. And I know I've mentioned Kohlberg's levels of moral development. So today I want to talk to you about my learning theory. In my family, there are some individuals that are very smart, but they don't act necessarily as smart as others, or they don't look intelligent. And so I studied them as I was trying to develop a unique learning theory. And my learning theory had to do with the fact that there are some individuals that are dominant on both sides of their brain. We might call them ambidextrous. If we really took the time, we could probably teach them to write equally well on both sides of the brain. They could play with both hands, ping pong, tennis. And as I studied them, it was almost as if both sides of the brain were warring for superiority. You know, they were trying to be dominant. And you had the way they walked wasn't necessarily, you know, it was like both hands would go out instead of one hand after the other. Both sides of their brain wanted to be dominant. I wish I had enough time in my life to really explore it. Some things that might get categorized as dyslexic might really be that both sides of the brain are dominant and that there's a little bit of conflict going on there. But you can look at your children or you can look at others and you can say, I wonder if both sides of their brain are dominant. Or maybe even for yourself, you can see where, you know, you pick up the phone in one hand one time and you pick up your phone in the other hand the other time. And then the way you might hand your phone off and then someone kind of reaches for it awkwardly, is it because you're awkward or they're awkward? So those types of things, as you begin to think about how we think and why we do the way things that we do, is quite fascinating. And God has made us all so unique. He's made our little curves in our brains so unique. So when we think about learning theories, we're really just thinking about why we do the things that we do, why we think the things that we think, the different ways that we process information. And it's such a big topic that I'm going to talk about it more because it's fascinating to me, the multiple intelligences and, you know, all the different ways that students learn. Fascinating. Well, let me go on to the next segment, which is questions parents ask. We have a pretty interesting question today. So this question comes from Melanie. She says that her husband wants to step up and lead in family worship. And she has prayed for this for many years. Many husbands just did not have it modeled for them and they do not know how to do it. Their children are ages 8, 6, and 3. And he wants to have a good workbook to go with it. Well, you know how I feel about workbooks. My idea would be that if you had a workbook, of course, it would just go over the three-year-old's head. But if you could take that workbook and have it as your idea, it would spark an idea for something that the children can do. My children, our family worships consisted, as they were little, for them to present. and they would go behind the chair and they would present. So we might say, okay, this is our text for the day, and we would read the text, and this is the story it's based on, and we might tell the story, and then we might ask the child to go and act it out. And at the end of the week, we would have a number of stories that they could act out, and then we would play Bible charades and have it very active. There's a lot of activity, devotional things out there that weren't out there when I had young children. So I just implore you, instead of having your kids do some more of the same workbook type things that they're going to have to do in school anyway, maybe you could look for something that's very interactive, hands-on. I never will forget my dad talking about sin and having some colored water and then putting a little bit of bleach in it. I didn't know it was bleach at the time, and the color disappeared. And he said how Jesus could come into our hearts and take away our sin. So as you think about worship, remember God made us to be active and creative and interactive with him. Well, I have to go to break right now. I'm so glad you've been with me in this first half of the show. In the second half of the show, we are talking about health and ways that your family can be healthier. So I hope you stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Ben Parrish, the director of
Health Ministries Development,
and Amanda LaCamera, who is his associate director. And I got to know them through a generous grant given to Gettysburg Adventist Christian School for a healthy school grant. And it's interesting how that journey began. I tried to do something that would be interactive with the students, where they're memorizing things, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of fun. So mm-hmm. I introduced the puppets, where they had to learn the different, each puppet represented a different letter of the acronym New Start. And then we also made cells. So they were big, cellish looking things. And then I got those lips that you can exercise your lips with and glued them in there so they could make the cells talking and everything. And there's things, you know, that I've learned along the way, but I've also really appreciated the fact that I had the resources to replace puppets, buy new puppets, or, you know, whatever we needed. We have a little sound system that now, portable sound system that we cart around. And in addition to that, I think that every family really wants their children to be healthy. And I didn't know if you had any opinions on how a family could help incorporate. I mean, we incorporate it here at school, but then in the families, how can a family, what would you recommend to our listeners to begin to incorporate and internalize these health principles into their family culture?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because ultimately it has to be practical. And I think it does require some intentionality. But I think ultimately you start with, you know, the last principle of New Start, which is trust in God. And I think God really blesses and continues to enable us as we move forward with different changes that we want to see take place in our home. And I have experienced that in my home as I grew up, and we really had to learn new principles. Just God always leads, and he gently guides us as we're able to bear it. But it's ultimately for our health. And so I think just being intentional and not trying to overwhelm ourselves is also important. And so just understanding what are maybe our weakest area or the area we have the most challenge with, maybe we can start improving in those. And one you know, one area helps the other. I think mm-hmm. It's just always important to, yeah, to pace ourselves and continue at it, not get discouraged.
So, Ben, was your family always very healthy in their in doing all of these health habits, or is it something that you've kind of taken on?
Yeah, I was blessed to be able to grow up in a vegetarian household that encouraged me to go outdoors and play, limited my time in front of the television. We had family worships that we connected at family meals. I remember those fondly, just coming together at the dinner table at the end of the day with a home-cooked meal, being able to talk about the challenges of the day and the fun parts of the day. I think that is super beneficial to having a family unit that will be healthy together.
Mm-hmm.
So, but our family wasn't perfect, you know. Since doing research in college and meeting other inspiring people, I've been able to add different elements to my lifestyle, such as becoming plant-based, taking out all animal products. I was inspired to do that through a video called A Diet for All Reasons, where a surgeon was talking about the benefits of plant-based foods. So it's definitely a lifelong journey that you're always making adjustments, and having role models, I think, is super important that you look up to emulate. Mm-hmm. And parents can be that for their children.
Yes. What do you see as the biggest, and this can be a question for both of you, what do you see as the biggest threat to healthy families?
The biggest threat to healthy families. Well, I think the media plays a big role, absolutely, with the advertisements that are out there. I just saw a piece of data yesterday that Americans spend on average 11 hours a day with the screen.
Wow.
And when children are exposed to that much media, they can become influenced. And I think there's a lot of subliminal messaging that's going on in the media, and so that can affect our daily choices.
Yeah, and I think even building on that, just the, you know, we live in a day and age that we have great conveniences, and those conveniences have brought a lot of blessing, but they also bring challenges in us carrying out these principles of health. And so we don't work for our food anymore. You know, it's something that I think very, very few people do anymore. And so it's just very easy. Everything comes to your door. We don't even have to go to the store anymore. And so it becomes a challenge to get fresh air, to get the sunshine, to get exercise. And so I think though the conveniences are really good, we still, it just requires so much intentionality. Mm-hmm. I think for me is the biggest thing, and just that commitment and reminding ourselves that those are great, but our health ultimately is more important. And sometimes, you know, it's okay to park a little bit further away and climb the stairs and go to the grocery store instead of having it delivered and all of those things.
Yeah, I had a real eye-opener this week. It was my birthday, and for my birthday, my husband essentially bought me a garden, all the little plants, and my nephew, who you've met, they dug up my garden spot, and I haven't gotten to plant anything for a number of years. So I was so excited, but it was the response of my grandchildren. They just, you know, they wanted to plant. They wanted to, and I thought, wow, you know, we just take for granted that kids all have the opportunity to plant stuff in a garden, but it's not so, you know. And they just, well, I just stood there, you know, told them where to plant stuff. They planted it. And now every time they come to my house, can we plant some more in your garden? Can we plant some more in your garden? And I'm thinking it's really cool that even though they have all the tablets and all this technology at their fingertips, there's that desire to get back and plant a garden.
Yeah.
How cool is that? Well, I know probably each of you have a thought of what the future, you know, what your organization as Adventist Whole Health, what you plan to do for the future. So could you share some of those ideas with us?
Yes. Well, our mission at Adventist Whole Health Network is to train, mentor, and support schools and churches throughout our state and beyond to extend the healing ministry of Jesus. So through grants, like we've talked about before, mm-hmm. or through going on for on-site training, we want to be able to come alongside people that are passionate about improving health in their community, and being able to equip them with the right resources and the skills necessary to accomplish healing.
And you're nonprofit, so you do this ministry. You started with an endowment or something. You know, you started with some resources.
That's right. We've been blessed to be self-funded through an endowment. So we are functioning off of that, and we're able to share that some of that through mm-hmm. grant money and purchasing resources that other ministries can borrow for free.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lending library that people can access through our website. We have a list of a lot of great new resources that can be accessed for free.
So I'll just remind my listeners, if you want to check it out, you can go to awhn.org and you can see there. And there's a way that they could contact you directly if they had a question, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Our phone number is also on the website, and so you'll be able to reach us that way. There's also a general email address. It's info@awhn.org. And that'll come to us, and we'd be happy to answer any inquiries or questions.
I just love the idea that there's a ministry out there that is focused on healthy young people, because it's much harder to reconstruct mm-hmm. your yeah. body than it is just to prevent
Absolutely.
These illnesses. And we know that, yes, we might think it's inherited, but it's usually the recipes that we've inherited from the generations before us that are creating some of the health problems that we have. Well, yeah. What last inspiring, maybe a text that you hang on to, a biblical text, one of your favorite texts that we can just leave our listeners with a word of inspiration?
I think for me, what Jesus spoke to us in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, that he said, "The thief has come to destroy and to kill, but I have come to bring you life." I'm sure you know
yes.
the last words, more abundantly. Jesus wants you to experience the life more abundantly, not only in the future, but in your mm-hmm. present
yes.
existence through a healthy life.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, I agree. One of the verses that I like also, Psalm 103, verse 5, and it talks about how God is the one who provides us good things and puts good things in our mouths so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And so I think that everything that God gives us is for the purpose of life, to give life, to restore and rebuild. And so I just feel really blessed for what it has accomplished in my life. And so it's just such a privilege to be a part of this work of sharing with others. And I think it's just, you know, God
yes.
gave us this for yes. a purpose, and he will continue to help us as we trust in him to follow it.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So thank you for being with us. I hope you have been blessed. I know that every time I think about health, I try to live healthier and always focus that my body is the temple of God. Well, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.